headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. The fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. I'm Dustin Hawksmith. Greg Pickle is answering your questions now. If you have the Keystone Sports app, you can ask your very own question by clicking the Ask Greg button there. You can also send questions to info@ksnsports.net. These are Penn State football, Penn State recruiting related. Obviously, in season, we're getting a lot of questions about this Wisconsin game. We're going to start there. The segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. Some awesome wines available for sale in 1855 Vidal. Sapphire Blue, a blueberry wine, Old Main, Pinot Grigio, some gift boxes to check out that go along with Tailgate Barbecue as well. Check out tailgatewine.com. And oh, by the way, the winning question this week, as determined by Gregory over here, gets a bottle of Tailgate Wine. So if that doesn't give you incentive to fire off a question or two, I don't know what does. We're going to start with are you ready, Greg?
Yeah, by the way, let's do it.
Start with Travis. You know, we're talking Penn State, Wisconsin. Looks like most of these questions have to do with that. Travis wants to know what's up with not finishing teams off. I understand a number of factors go into offensive inefficiency, but I notice possible conservative play calling late and playing not to lose. I've been hesitant to point solely at coaching for struggles, but it's tough for me with this specific topic. Do you agree that coaching and play calling take primary responsibility here?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think that it's a little bit of both. So I think the one thing that's tough about college athletics, at least in my opinion, is that you don't want to pile on the players because they're not paid. They're doing the best they can, all that kind of stuff. And I get it. But at the same time, the coaches put them in position to execute. And Dustin, they just, it's not, you know, execution doesn't always happen. So I think that's the tough part. I think that, you know, obviously Penn State would have liked to finish the game a different way against Wisconsin without the fumble, without the turnover, without the errors that, you know, made that game a little bit closer than it had to be. But at the end of the day, they got the job done. That's really what matters. But yeah, if they ever want to get to be a college football playoff contender for real, they have to do two things. Improve the trenches still and finish games. And if they can't do those two things, it'd be tough to get back to the heights they were at 2016 and even the New Year's Six Bowl from a year ago.
So my question would be, and I think this points to Travis's question, is, you know, what is the bread and butter of the Penn State offense? What's the identity of the Penn State offense? When you know you got to get 5 yards, what's the play call? Who's the target? Who's your go-to? What are you trying to do exactly? You know, I want to, you know, my instinct is to pile on the play calling too, but if you're ill-equipped to execute some of the concepts of the offense, which I think, you know, to me, Ricky Ronnie is still a work in progress. You still can't draw conclusions about him because, you know, guys aren't catching the ball, you know, and when guys aren't catching the ball, I think you're getting a pretty solid Penn State offensive line most weeks, but it's not a dominator either.
No.
I just don't know that Penn State knows what it wants to do in these key situations. And that's why you see, you know, against Ohio State, you run that 4th-and-5 play with the game on the line. You're trying to run out the clock. So you run – it was that game. You run 3 run plays in a row to try to kill clock, and they don't go anywhere. You end up having to punt the ball away. Then, you know, a couple weeks later, you're throwing the ball when you're trying to kill the clock, almost as an overreaction to the fact that you didn't do anything running the ball. The bottom line to me is that I don't think they know what they have or what they're trying to do in those situations because I don't think they have a true feel what's going to be effective yet.
No, I don't either. I think they're still looking for those go-to guys. Pat Freiermuth is starting to develop into that kind of guy, as is Jahan Dotson and some others. But yeah, I think you're right. At this point, Penn State is struggling a little bit to, you know who the guy is going to be and know who the guy they're going to run behind is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure things out. And it's not to make an excuse for the coaching staff. I think just facts are facts. Ryan from East Berlin wants to know, Greg, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being no doubt, what is your confidence level that Penn State finishes out the season 9-3? If Penn State does finish out 9-3, where do you predict they'll play their bowl game and who would be the opponent options? Thank you and keep up the great work. Really, I just wanted to ask that question just so you knew that Ryan wanted to thank you and thinks that the work you're doing is great.
So is yours, Dustin. So thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to beat Rutgers and they're going to beat Maryland. I have no doubt about that at all. So that means they'll be 9-3, head to a Florida Bowl.
You don't know what a train wreck is until they lose one of these games. You know what I mean? Like, oh, everybody's dissatisfied with the season, but I think it is a foregone conclusion, but I just wanted to say that.
So one thing I'll point out is that after winning weeks, we generally don't get as many questions because people aren't as fired up. They're not, you know, loading the app and sending angry questions in after the game and overnight. If they lose to Rutgers or Maryland, we will have a full inbox, I'm pretty sure. But I don't foresee that happening. But send your questions in anyway. We do like full inboxes. So, yeah, ultimately, Dustin, to me, they will be 9-3 at the end of the regular season, and we'll send them to a Florida bowl game. And I think that, you know, in my opinion, I would really like to see them play a game against Mississippi State. I think that would be the most compelling game for Penn State fans and for Mississippi State fans. So we'll see. But, you know, if they don't end up doing that, it'll probably be Kentucky or Florida. Those are the two teams they predicted with most. So ESPN, very interestingly, is still projecting Penn State to go to the Fiesta Bowl as a New Year's Six team, which would be fascinating, I think.
That would be fascinating. One picked UCF as the opponent. I forget who the other West Virginia was the other choice. So, yeah, for those guys to say that there's still a shot, it's such a complicated system. I just defer to others on this one. But for them to still say there's a shot for the Fiesta Bowl and to play a really good team, I think is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Dustin. I think that, you know, I don't think they'll end up going to the Fiesta Bowl as a New Year's Six team, but it's certainly possible because, you know, they'll obviously have two wins here to jump up the schedule, and nobody outside the top like seven, everybody else is just bumper cars and train wrecks every week underneath those guys.
Yeah, you're right. So it's interesting. Finish 9-3 is first and foremost, and then we'll see what happens after that. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you have to check out tailgatewine.com and check out the blue and white wine gift box. You also have some wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs. Check it all out, tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. This is Ask Greg. These are your Penn State football questions for our, as one Gene from Waverly, we'll ask this question just because the way he starts, gifted football guru Greg. That's who's answering your questions this week. Gifted football guru Greg. Penn State's passing game has been disappointing, causing drop balls from multiple receivers and affecting Trace McSorley's accuracy. I'm looking for the common denominator. Why? I mean, we all are, Gene. We certainly have the talent. What do you think as to whether Josh Gattis was more effective at this point than David Corley?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a couple times now. I think one thing, Dustin, is that, you know, one thing that jumps out at me is that the drops sometimes are on the receiver. Sometimes the route running is not right. The route depth is not right. And when it's all about the little things, Josh Gattis used to say. And when, you know, you throw off where your feet are supposed to be, you throw off how deep on the field you're supposed to be and all that kind of stuff, you know, you run into some potential problems. So I think it's a little bit of everything. I don't think David Corley came to State College with a plan of how receivers could catch passes less. I do think, however, that you know, they need to improve in that area. There was a little bit of improvement this past week, but there really, you know, has been a season-long trend here, problems like this. So we'll see if last week was an aberration or if that's what we can expect moving forward.
Jeff from Oakdale has questions about the assistant coaches as well. Lots of talk about the assistant coaches and their lack of experience. Do you think this was a domino effect from the Ronnie hire, comparing Michigan and Ohio State, who hire ex-head coaches or offensive coordinators with experience? Is it likely Franklin couldn't hire a position coach with experience to essentially work for an offensive coordinator with zero experience? I don't know if I agree with the tone of that question in particular, but it has come up to me. You can answer that question then, but it has come up to me, and I have talked to somebody about this, that, okay, James Franklin, one of his deficiencies as a coach is in-game management. I think an objective observer would say that without a doubt. I think that is a fair criticism. So with that in mind, does it make sense to hire a really proven dynamic play caller and not what I would call a project or a development sort of a guy with Ricky Ronnie? I think that's fair to ask.
Well, I mean, I think the tough part is that it doesn't really matter what the right answer is, because James Franklin has a pretty good track record here of hiring guys he has connections with and promoting from within for other staff, you know, positions like Phil Galliano moving from an off-field role to special teams coordinator. And so, I mean, is one right and one wrong? I don't know. I mean, certainly there's been success with established guys as opposed to a guy, you know, that's sort of learning on the job. And it does feel like Ricky Ronnie's learning on the job. And I'm not sure Penn State's the place to do that. But This is what James Franklin does. This is what he's going to do, whether people like it or not. So it's almost one of those get used to it situations, which, you know, fairly or unfairly is the way they're going to operate.
Yeah, and I don't know what the pool of dollars is like, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a factor, too. A lot of positions to hire, and I know this is always a fight for head coaches is to get that funding to get money for your assistants. So let's see. All right. I'm trying to find the next good question here. One came from Rural Retreat, and I think you have to answer that question from Jack Cox. Rural Retreat, Virginia. We know the offense is struggling. We know the drops are a problem, as well as having to rely on running the quarterback way too much. Given the fact all we've heard going into the season is how good our offensive line was going to be, we've heard discussions about the possibility of some of them leaving early for the draft. I don't know where those discussions are taking place. But if they are this good, then why haven't we been able to run the ball consistently against the better teams?
Well, I mean, I think that honestly, and I'm included in this, that we had high hopes for the offensive line before the season started, and Dustin, they just haven't met him as far as I'm concerned. You know, I think that it's just been – you see the progression some weeks, but I don't know. When you're flipping your tackles in November, I think that tells you all you need to know, does it not? I mean, that's one thing you really never want to do, or you try to avoid the best you can, and Penn State ended up doing it at a time of year where, you know, they're coming down the home stretch. So I think that tells you all you need to know. The line's been – I think it's been better than what people give it credit for, but it certainly hasn't been great.
So this question from Brad from Dearborn Heights, Michigan, speaks to, you know, something we just discussed. The problem I'm seeing is that this team can neither outrun nor outmuscle the better opponents on the schedule. Which aspect do you think is more important if this team is going to contend in earnest for the playoff in the future?
To me, it's all about – well, you have to – I mean, both. But, I mean, to me, if you can't rush the passer, if you can't have a defensive line that plugs the run and gets to the opposing quarterback, it's going to be hard to win in this day and age, man. Quarterbacks are too good anymore. The game is tailored officiating-wise to passing offenses. Quarterbacks just keep getting better and better. Receivers just keep getting more and more explosive. If you can't stop them in the backfield with sacks, with hurries, with pressures and all that, you're not going to win too many games. So to me, it's a defensive line.
Strength, speed, what are you? What's the identity of this team going forward? Offense, defense, whatever. What's the best question you heard this week?
Jack from Rural Retreat. I like that one.
All right. And the hometown is amazing. Jack from Rural Retreat asking about the offense and the offensive line. So there you go. Jack, expect a communication from us about your bottle of tailgate wine coming up. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And by the way, if you download the Keystone Sports app, click the Ask Greg button. You can ask your own question of Greg Pickle. In the meantime, check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We'll see you next time.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.